get no compensation. If it were up to you, how would you handle this particular offseason?
Yeah, I mean, so to me, the best case scenario, and it's only the best case because I'm not the one cutting the check for it, is, you know, perfect world. You throw Clay the $190 million 5-year max. You somehow get Kevin Durant to take his 5-year max, which is up around $220 million. If you could, again, perfect world, extend Draymond Green, which he would be crazy to do because he can get so much more if he waits a year for free agency, then, you know, the numbers are just astronomical. You're paying hundreds of millions of dollars just in luxury tax on top of your salary cap stuff. So, I mean, it's insane the amount of money you'd be paying. And then you're looking at, you know, trying to find guys at minimum salaries, and you've got a couple roster exceptions. For example, that's how they signed DeMarcus Cousins this past year. You hope you strike gold with that stuff because those are your only other options to add talent to the roster. Aside from hoping guys like Jacob Evans gets better, you know, Damian Jones stays healthy and improves, like those, that's it. Because if you get those four guys back, you've got just zero resources to add talent.
Well, let me ask you this then. I mean, I know the Warriors have set the bar so high, Grant, and, you know, 7-8 years ago, Warriors fans couldn't, in their wildest dreams, could have never pictured this is where we would be. But because of everything they've accomplished, and I know it's bad timing with the move to the Chase Center, but, like, you know, basically getting through 2019-2020 patchwork style as best you can without, quote, blowing this thing up, doesn't it seem like the most prudent course of action? And shouldn't Warriors fans be willing to accept that based on everything they've got in the last half a decade and potentially everything they could have going forward if they keep this core together?
Yeah, I think so. That's why, you know, to me, doing whatever you can to keep, you know, the main guys around, and I put Durant a little bit outside the core three of Curry, Durant, or Curry, Thompson, and Green, just because, yeah, you know, this has been a half-decade run of finals berths and 7 playoff years, which, you know, look, I was right there. I'm a Bay Area guy. Like, I grew up with, you know, trying to see if Montego Cummings was going to be any good, or watching, you know, Latrell Sprewell was my guy back in the day. That was as good as it got.
Where'd you grow up?
San Jose.
Okay. All right. So, shout out 408. Yep.
That's right. So yeah, like, I mean, this 5-year run has been, it buys you, you know, 10 more mediocre years if that's what it comes to, which I don't think it will. But yeah, a step back, I think, is unavoidable. And I think my guess is the fan base is just more than willing to accept that, you know, next year might be, let's hope for a playoff berth. Let's maybe try to get the 4th seed, something like that. And I think that's probably fine because, like you say, there is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel if you can sort of stick it out for a year. And then maybe you do get your guys all the way back and healthy, and you're right back where you were, you know, these past 5 years.
Well, I mean, we've been obsessing over the top-end guys, rightfully. I mean, they're superstars. But what about some of the other guys that are already on the roster? I mean, a couple years ago, you asked any Warrior fan, they'd tell you, Kevon Looney who? Like, he didn't even play. He was hurt. He had the hip injury. And he's turned into a really valuable player for this team. I'm looking at someone like, you know, Jordan Bell. I'm looking at Damian Jones, Jacob Evans. Do we really know enough of any of these players to make sweeping judgments at this point? Or is this upcoming season going to tell us what these guys are as NBA players?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a chance. I mean, the minutes are going to be there, I think. So that's the starting point. You know, Evans spent all year in the G League as the Warriors are trying to turn him into a point guard after he played, you know, he was a wing in college. So I think he's going to get huge minutes next year, especially if Sean Livingston retires, because, I mean, and Quinn Cook may get priced out of the Warriors range too. So those minutes will be there. Same with Damian Jones. I think the only guy that doesn't have a lot to prove and that doesn't need this opportunity is probably Looney, because to me, and I think to everybody that watched this playoff run who didn't already know, he's a starting center in the NBA. I mean, full stop. I think he does all the little things you want from a guy playing on a team that has guys that need their shots. He doesn't need that stuff. He's going to rebound. He's going to switch and defend on the perimeter, all that stuff. He's, to me, set. If they get him back for, you know, $3 million, $5 million, that's a bargain. But, yeah, the other guys, specifically Jones and Bell and definitely Evans, those guys are going to get chances. And I think, you know, especially for someone like Bell, this may be his last chance because he seemed to have so much potential. but really just hasn't sort of figured it out from a mental standpoint, and now he's going to get a shot to really do that.
Boy, Damian Jones, Jacob Evans, Jordan Bell, man, 2019-2020 sounds like it's going to suck. Talking to Grant Hughes from the Bleacher Report and the Butcher Shop, Ryan Covey and Joe Shasky, about Kevin Durant. Now, we know what the deal is. Warriors can offer him 5 for $221. Rest of the NBA can offer him 4 for $164, which really is 4 for $221 if you're the Warriors and 3 for $164 if you're another team. And you don't get him for the upcoming season, and he's coming back off a ruptured Achilles tendon. We know desperate times require desperate measures, and if your team's like the Knicks, the Nets, desperation rules the day. Do you think those teams are still going to be willing to do that, knowing you don't have him for a year? How active do you expect the market to be for Kevin Durant? And the other side of this, too, is do you expect the Warriors to just offer him that super max, or do you expect them to maybe look at this and say, I don't know, you know, the Achilles, that's a lot of money. Just, you know, give us the best insight about Kevin Durant.
Yeah, to me, I think those are all those considerations are tied together because, like, look, and to me, it's wild that we're just discounting the possibility of him opting in for $31.5 million next year, which almost anybody else who just shredded his Achilles would do, I think, just get that guaranteed money because who knows what's next. But Durant's a different guy, and he's going to have those offers out there. So
right.
The market is really what's dictating, you know, certainly what the Warriors feel like they need to do, because I do think, you know, several teams are going to say, yeah, we'll pay 164 for, like you said, essentially 3 years. And so the Warriors have to leverage the advantage they have, which is the extra year and the bigger number. I would be surprised if the Warriors have not already sort of back channel floated, like, hey, this is on the table, and July 1, it'll be there if you want to sign it. And I suspect that all those communications have happened between Durant and, say, the Knicks and the Nets and, you know, you name it. So the market's dictating what the Warriors need to do to have their best chance to keep him. I don't know what those odds are. I don't think they're great, just based on a full year of the expectation that he'll leave. But yeah, I think that money is definitely out there for him, and I think you know, they're just because he's Kevin Durant, everybody's going to look past the Achilles and the fact that he'll be, you know, well into his 30s by the time he's back.
Grant, this is a big picture question you may not have the answer to, but in the NFL, the salary cap rises, it seems like, every year by $10, $15 million. And I feel like outside of a couple years ago, we don't see the NBA salary cap increase. And why is that?
Well, it's tied to basketball revenue, basically. And they can, you know, there have been projections, you know, 2 and 3 years out for a while. The new TV deal was the reason for the huge cap spike in 2016. And there won't be another one quite like that, maybe ever, just because of all the crazy contracts that got signed during that offseason and how it kind of really skewed the league for a while. So it's going up as basketball revenue goes up, but it's going to be incremental. I think I don't remember offhand, but I think it's going to be about 109, and then the tax figure will be up around 120, and it may go up or down a little bit on that once the final numbers are in. But yeah, it goes up. It's just going to be slow outside of that huge spike 3 off-seasons ago.
Let me ask you this, Grant. My partner and I have been talking about this tonight as far as it applies to Draymond Green. We know how important he is, obviously, in everything that he's accomplished. The Warriors can offer him this summer 4 years, $100 million. We know he could also be on the All-NBA team or be a Defensive Player of the Year and qualify for a Supermax, and that's essentially betting on himself. How do you see that playing out? And, you know, do you think the Warriors have a limit? Like, do you think 4 for $100 is the most they want to pay for a guy that on the offensive end teams can just leave open because they know he can't shoot? I mean, how do you see that playing out for Draymond Green? And, you know, do you think that they're going to be willing to offer him a max contract? Or, God, you know, if he, you know, achieves what he's supposed to, you know, if he's all NBA or, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, I mean, a super max for Draymond Green? Do you see that really happening?
I mean, he is one of the toughest guys to sort of figure out in terms of what the smart move is. And so that's why I think if Green took the 4 year, $100 million extension this summer, the Warriors would be doing backflips just because, you know, $25 million a year, maybe that gets ugly in the last year or two, because I do think he's a player that is just not going to age that well, because you lose half a step when sort of athletically you didn't ever really have it to begin with. You got by on being incredibly competitive and incredibly smart. You lose that half step, it's it's a big deal. So I think, you know, the last couple of years of whatever deal he signs, if it's a long-term deal, are going to be tough. And I just, I don't know. I think if he doesn't take the $4 for $100 extension, which you don't hire Clutch Sports if that's all you're going to do. That's kind of my take
on it. Good point.
I think he wants free agency. He wants that max salary. If it's super max, even better. But that's going to be such a tough decision a year from now for the Warriors, because maybe you're going to see some signs this year that the slippage is coming. I mean, everybody thought it was coming until he lost all the weight this year already. But, you know, it's only going to – the end comes for everybody. And, you know, Green is another guy. He's going to be 32 at the end of next year going into 2020. I mean, I'm not sure I want to go $200 million for him, as great as he is, as much as he's meant. It would just be such a tough emotional decision. I don't envy the Warriors for having to make that, you know, down the line.
I guess I got another big picture question that we'll get you out of here on this with. I don't understand what the league's backlash is to super teams. We saw now that LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and I guess they're left with only like $25 or $24 or $27 million to fill out the rest of their team. And we see obviously the Warriors, if they were to keep everybody, they're going to be paying like $380 million for one season with all the luxury tax hits. Why is it the league set up to punish the super team so much when clearly they're the highest rated when it comes to TV viewership and whatnot? Like, why are they so not in lockstep?
Yeah, I don't know. I think to me, the people that complain about this, oddly, are, you know, if you're a small market team and you're getting kickdowns in terms of revenue sharing from big market teams that rake in the money and pay big taxes, you're kind of benefiting from the fact that everyone wants to see the Lakers or whatever super team you're talking about. To me, the NBA has always been a super team league. We've just kind of come up with
exactly
this term lately. Like, go back to the great Celtics teams of the 60s when there were like 8 teams in the whole league. Every team is a super team then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people from that era are complaining about it, it's ridiculous. So the NBA wants this. I think they should want it because it keeps it more interesting. It creates better rivalries. You want the best players playing deep into the playoffs, all that stuff. It's good for everybody. The ones that complain about it, I think, are just the teams that, you know, have mismanaged their operation so badly that it's just not possible for them to kind of get in on this. That's kind of my two cents on it.
Last question, because I have no idea. Where does the luxury tax money go?
Well, it depends on how much. So first of all, it goes to the league and then it gets redistributed. Basically, there's a revenue sharing setup. So the other teams in the league that, you know, don't make as much or are under the cap, but not too much under the cap, because you got to hit a minimum, that it gets redistributed around the league. So that's effectively where it goes.
Man, too bad it doesn't go to us. All right. Hey, Grant, man, appreciate your time. Thanks so much. And we'll be following you on Twitter at @GT_Hughes. Thanks for coming on with us late, brother. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Shout out San Jose.
Yeah, 408. Represent. Anytime we can get a Bay Cat in the house, too, it's all good, right?
Absolutely. Again, there's this backlash for some reason against super teams that I don't understand. I really don't. When you look at the viewing, like just the habits of viewers.
You're right.
Everybody watches super teams. Yet, for whatever reason, everybody's complaining about super teams.
No. You know who's complaining about super teams? Fans of teams that aren't said super teams.
But I wasn't complaining about super teams when I was watching my Warriors bow out in March and have no chance, and the Lakers and the Celtics and all the other teams that were available, the Bulls. Like, I just watched the games. Like, oh man,
right. You're a fan because you're a real NBA fan.
I know
that's
but
why
it just drives me nuts that, like, and look, I get it. You want to have the salary cap to create a fair and balanced level playing field, if you will. But it's almost like you're a victim of your own success, because if you do develop everyone and you do all the right things, like, you're hamstrung as to how much you can pay those guys that you've developed.
But the other side of that, though, is think about the bird rights angle in all this. And I hear you get crushed on the luxury tax bill, but the Warriors, you know, because they're in a lot of ways, they are a prisoner of their own success, but they are able, if they want to keep these guys, to keep this team intact. Once you get somebody's bird rights, you can keep them. You just have to pay through the eyeballs for them. If they want to max out Clay and Steph and Draymond and you know, Kevin Durant, they can max out all of these guys. It's just obviously you'll be crushed in, you know, way over the luxury tax, so you won't be able to have any other money to spend except for the mid-level exception and then NBA veteran minimums, and that's it.
But what that does is it inherently destroys the middle class free agency.
You're absolutely
there
right about
no
that.
There is no free agency middle class whatsoever. It's supermaxes and mid-level exceptions and lower-tiered contracts. And so for me, I'm like someone like Trevor Ariza has no incentive but other than to take that $16 million one-year deal from Phoenix because he might not ever cash in again. Instead, if there were a little more equity and it was a little more balanced, he could get a $7 or $8 million a year deal spread out over 3 or 4 years.
Just, I will just argue the other side of this for you. The reason that these guys can earn supermaxes is because those are the people that are putting butts in the seats at those arenas, and those are the ones generating the bulk of the revenue for the entire league. With all due respect to Trevor Ariza, I don't think anybody's ever bought a ticket to say, yo, I need to go see Trevor Ariza ball tonight.
No, I 100% agree with you, but again, the supermaxes are not all created equal. You go look at Chris Paul's
John Wall. Ridiculous, yeah.
They're overpaid versus what LeBron is underpaid. But I don't care. No one can tell me LeBron's underpaid.
I agree, but that's just teams being desperate, right? And saying, well, this is the best we can do with what we have. We don't want to lose John Wall, and we know somebody out there will probably pay him that. We want to build a franchise around this guy. There's only so many championship caliber players around the league, and if you don't have one of them, it's like championship level quarterbacks in the NFL. Everyone that doesn't have one is desperate to find one. Think about the 49ers did with Jimmy Garoppolo. They paid him like he was a franchise quarterback, but we still don't know. John Wall got paid like he was a franchise cornerstone. Now I think we do know he's definitely not. But teams that are desperate, you know, desperate times requiring desperate measures, that's, you know, teams doing that to a team.
No, I hear you. It's just... I feel like the way the league is structured financially, there's a lot of different things that I'd like to see changed. I'm not using baseball as the barometer because baseball's got their own issues, but you can have a team like the Astros who had a minimal payroll when they first started coming up, compete, you know, against the big boys and the Yankees and the Red Sox. Oakland A's do it every single year. Great call on that. So I just feel like just because you have the money, you shouldn't have to necessarily spend it. We see this in football where the Niners had to give Vance McDonald a salary. We saw it with the Warriors years ago. Well, they got to give Ronnie Turioff money because, you know, they're at the bottom. You got to give somebody the money. No, if you're not worth the money, you're not worth the money.
But if you want to participate in revenue sharing, there's got to be some minimum standards, right?
I know. I hate revenue sharing across sports. That's
I agree.
I think the NFL model is damn near the most perfect.
I would never work at a restaurant where you had to pull tips. I'm going to pull 25% all night just because some jabroni can't get his food out on time, doesn't get refills, and is rude to the customers. I'm not sharing my scratch with him. I'm in here whining and dining people. I'll rub your neck. I'll pop open your wine. I'll tell you all about the specials. I mean, come on now. Speaking of which, I had a lovely dinner tonight, and shout out my girl Jonna and her mom Janice and Glenda in town. You got to meet him today. We gave him a nice tour of the station. They're our number one fans. They're listening right now, Butch. They're very excited.
I like that. My wife doesn't even listen, so they're already ahead of the line in my book.
They're great, though. We had
very
a lot of
nice
fun.
People.
Yeah, had a lot of fun couple of days. Most definitely. All right, let's go out to David in Bayview before we hit the break. Go ahead, David. You're in the butcher shop.
Yo, you guys are the bomb. Straight up no chaser.
Appreciate you, man.
I wanted to talk about the repeater tax, and you guys already touched on it. You know, they're going to have a down season. The repeater tax goes up exponentially, you know, for 4 years. And if you are a smart businessman, maybe you want to dip down for a year and then you've got a reset on that. But, you know, you're opening up a new stadium. So it's actually good timing.
They can't
do that.
Hold on, David. I'll let you finish. But yeah, they can't really afford to do that right now just based on where they're at. Not just moving into the Chase Center, but based on where they're at as a franchise. They've been to 5 straight NBA finals, and you still got a big group of guys that were the key cogs and all that, still with a lot of basketball left to play.
No, I got it. But I'm just saying as a business model, nobody's ever mentioned the repeater tax. You guys were just talking about it in, you know, the league revenue and dispersing all that. But, yeah, it's kind of BS that being a good team, you get punished. But thank you for your time.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
I believe in capitalism. It's America.
Capitalism.
Know what I mean? You know, it's just good businesses print money. And if you're one of the small ones, you can still break through and become a big business. Silicon Valley was built on a dude in a garage developing a computer, okay? Anybody right. can do it. So that's just the way I've always run my life. Like any, I start off as podcaster, okay? I was doing stuff in my basement, and now I'm on the radio.
Look at this dude.
But my point being is that it doesn't have to be equal. Life isn't equal. Life isn't fair. I don't understand why the NBA has to, we got to hand the Cleveland Cavaliers a bunch of money because, you know, they're terrible business owners.
I love it when you do the
but it's true.
The cynic voice.
It's true. Dan Gilbert should not own a team, straight up. The dude is he's a terrible owner.
Neither should James Dolan.
100% agree. 100% agree. So it just, look, I understand why the rules are in place. That doesn't make them great rules, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it benefits the rest of the league. Viewership is down in the NBA for a reason, okay? I guarantee you, if you allowed all of the quote-unquote super teams to just build themselves up, it would make more compelling basketball. Don't you want to see a bunch of super squads going at it? I do.
Right. No, agreed.
I'd rather see that. Look, I was much more enjoying the finals, even though we lost, than I did the Portland Trailblazer series.
For sure.
Straight up.
Yeah, you got the best in the world playing for big stakes. That's why we love the World Cup every year, or every 4 years in soccer. Exactly. Give me the best of the best. Samir and the rest of you, hang on. 888-957-9570 is the number. Joe Shasky, Ryan Covey, Butcher Shop, bobbing and weaving all up in you on a Monday.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
It was a hot night in August. I can't wait for hot August nights. It's coming up. We're like a month away.
I'm down with that. And, you know, hot August nights means it's August. That means it's summertime. And that means the NFL will be back shortly, baby.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. And August is also my birthday month.
Oh, nice. Oh, you're one of those. You're going to give me the hints 2 months out?
Oh, dog. I mean, we got to have a whole celebration the whole week, right? Nah, dude. I'm one of those guys like, it doesn't matter that it's my birthday. You know me. Like, no, I'm like you on my birthday. Just let me play some golf.
Yes.
And just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, don't throw BS on my plate.
I totally agree.
Don't make me do anything I don't want
to
do.
Hey, honey, we got to do the gauntlet. We got to go to my mother's place, and then we got to go to your parents' place, and then we got to go here. I'm like, what about me? It's my day. What about me?
If my girl's still listening, that's all I want on my birthday. Let me play 18 holes of golf. Maybe, you know, we spend some time together, have some dinner.
A quality dinner.
And I got to get a nap in. Birthday nap, mandatory.
And video games.
Oh, can I? Yeah, it's my birthday.
Give me a couple hours.
Can
I
play FIFA for two hours?
Exactly.
Maybe smoke some Indo. No, I'm just kidding.
That's all right. For later. Yeah. The puff pass is about an hour.
Oh, my bad. 15. Yeah, we'll do about an hour. We'll puff. All right. Hey, do you really think Kawhi's going to leave the Toronto Raptors, Butch? You feel like he's going to?
To be honest, I have no idea what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. And, like, I, honest to God, I really don't. I could see him re-signing. I could see him thinking that, you know, physically, obviously he looked like he was a little limited. He missed an entire season because of whatever the hell happened in San Antonio with him, the trainers, his own injury. I could see a lot of different scenarios which would make him want to stay in Toronto and just be their greatest player ever. Like, I think it's probably, what, Chris Bosh, DeMar DeRozan, but Kawhi's leapfrogged DeMar DeRozan, right?
Yeah.
And he's leapfrogged Chris Bosh. I mean, Chris Bosh had like 7 all-star years. I know the title. I get it. I'm just saying, like, the body of work for Chris Bosh, maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. Has it been leapfrogged by the one finals championship?
Wait, hold on. Wait, what are you asking me exactly now?
As far as greatest Toronto Raptor ever, like, Chris Bosh had, I think, 7 or 8 consecutive all-star. Like,
look, man, Kawhi brought him a title.
I know.
Kawhi got a ring. They had a parade today. Unfortunately, it sounds like there was some violence there. And in all seriousness, that sucks. And tighten it up, Canada. You're better than that. But, I mean, tighten it up, humanity. You're better than that. But, when you got that Larry O on you, when you bring that hardware, especially to a team that's never done it, like, what do we say? Is Kyle Lowry the all-time Raptor, though? Like, I don't know. Kawhi's the leader, man.
Yeah, and Lucas is in my ear saying, Vince Carter. It's like, Vince Carter had his best years with the Nets, with Jason Kidd. Like, statistically, team-wise, like, look at his team achievements when he was with the Nets.
You know who that's a question for?
They went to the finals.
You know who that's a question for, Butch?
Who?
The Toronto Raptors fans.
That's a good point. I don't want to ask Drake, though.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm saying the Toronto Raptors fans, not Drake.
Yeah, not the
fanboy.
Not
some Johnny-come-lately fanboy.
The mascot.
Right. No, I'm saying like the real fans.
That's a good point.
You could speak on behalf of like who's the face of the Golden State Warriors. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like, because look, I love Tim Lincecum. He brought us the first championship, right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't put him higher than Barry Bonds, for example, right? As far as, like, look, he means a lot, but he's on my pedestal. He isn't higher than Bonds. So.
But he's higher than Bill Swift.
Hey, don't sleep on Bill. Bill won 20 games, 1993.
No, I know. I was trying to come up with a clean comp.
You're right.
He's better than Candy Maldonado.
Absolutely. But so my point is, I don't know what that guy's going to do. He can make more money there. Again, if he's looking at his injury history, if I'm him, I'd probably want to stay there. There's got to be endurance. The guy is signed to a New Balance deal. What are you, like 70?
He's an alien, bro.
It's unbelievable. So I don't know what the hell's going through his mind. But if he wants to play in L.A., like, I know everyone's like, the Clippers. I mean, if I'm him, I'd go join LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, you know, like, why not?
By the way, speaking of Kevin Durant odds, the Warriors and the Knicks are plus 150 to sign KD. The Clippers plus 300. The Nets plus 700. Lakers plus 1,600. OKC plus 10K.
I still thought the Lakers were a serious contender to land Kevin Durant, but I think the Anthony Davis thing for me...
Well, they're not in a position where they can afford to punt on a season on a guy rehabbing an Achilles. The Lakers, that's out. They can't because LeBron's 35.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good point. Upon further investigation, you're correct.
They need to win a title this year.
I was saying before the injury, I still thought the Los Angeles was a destination for him, at least an option. I think that him and LeBron clearly have a friendship. And, I mean, when you look at, we hate to say this, I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. You do it in the L.A. Laker uniform, it just means more to the NBA.
It does.
The NBA, look at those montages. Look who they're putting on those montages. They're not putting that Pistons 2004 team on there, okay? It's like every Laker team you've ever seen.
Right.
They'll even throw Tyronn Lue in there because Allen Iverson stepped over a Laker.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like 76ers lost, and they're throwing that highlight in there because it's against the Lakers.
Right.
It means more.
You're right. All right, I got something I want to throw at you. First,
where do you think he's gone?
Boy, Kawhi?
Yeah.
I think Kawhi Leonard is going to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Clippers?
I do.
Wow.
I do. He wants to be in L.A. I don't think it's going to be the Lakers. But you know what? It's either, to me, it's the Clippers or he's staying in Toronto.
See, I think the Clippers should move out of L.A. Go to San Diego, go to Seattle, go to Vegas.
They're always going to be
second. Yeah,
even they could damn near win the NBA title next year, and it'd still be the Lakers town. It'll always be the Lakers
100%.
Town. 100%.
It's going to go Dodgers, USC, or Lakers, Dodgers, USC in any order, and then the Rams, and then way down below whatever the MLS team is, then you have the Clippers.
Well, you got two MLS teams. Now, if you're a soccer guy, you should know this. You got the Galaxy and LAFC.
But they're not in the Scottish League, so I saved my soccer knowledge for Scottish League.
Fair
only.
Enough. Tell me another team in the Scottish Premier League, Butch.
Well, I just know about the two teams that go up against each other all the time. It's a big-time rivalry, the Rangers versus Celtics FC. And also, don't sleep on...
Hearts.
Oh, I didn't know about the Hearts.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to learn about them.
And Dundee FC.
Dundee.
Yeah, I got you,
I'm learning. Just wait till I learn who our best player is.
And then you're just going to be off and running.
Wait.
That's an all-time hit, right? That's an all-time take. Just wait till I learn who our best player is, and then I'm going to be a dope fan.
Okay, so the 707's texting this in. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to play second fiddle to LeBron James. This second fiddle thing.
You need multiple fiddles to orchestrate a championship.
That's insane. Like, since when?
That's a great take, by the way, by me.
It is. It really is.
You know, fiddles, orchestrate,
absolutely.
Championship. You're welcome.
But, like, does that... Kawhi just proved he could do it by himself. This whole
he didn't do it by himself.
No, I know, but that's the narrative from the national... He proved he could lead a team by himself. Who cares? Like, I don't understand the second fiddle. Don't you just want to win? Don't you just want to win championships?
Right.
And lots of them?
You know what you need to win a championship, Butch? Lots of guys to play well in the finals.
Yes.
That's what you need to win a championship.
100%. That's exactly.
Lots of different guys to play well in the finals.
Who listen to their coach and don't try to get them fired.
Yeah. And
not that anyone on the Warriors. I'm talking about other teams and other players.
Other.
LeBron.
Other teams. We're just talking about you, LeBron. But yeah, the Lakers, they already won the title this year. I don't know if you knew. let's go to Samir in Freakmont. Go ahead, Samir. You're in the Butcher Shop.
I hate the Lakers.
What's up, Samir?
Yo, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Doing all right, man. Having a good time on a Monday. What's up?
Cool, man. Y'all are really funny.
Right on. Appreciate you.
So the whole narrative, right, is about KD, now Clay's health, keeping the core together, tax implications if we give him max or super max deals. What's your take on the new Chase Center and it being a cash cow and allocating those funds to giving, you know, basically keeping the core together?
Well, they're going to be printing money at the Chase Center for sure. Joe Lacob had money before the Chase Center. Now he's going to have even more money. So money is not the issue for this team. Joe, if it's a matter of spending cash, that's why the luxury tax bill, while it jumps off the table at you, in the grand scheme of things, rather inconsequential. And Joe Lacob, being the savvy businessman that he is, understands the biggest adage of all, which is it takes money to make money. And so the more money that he invests in this product, the more of a financial windfall he will receive. The only downside to that is if the team sucks for a few years, a couple years down the road, and then all of a sudden, you know, that place isn't selling out and people aren't buying Warriors gear and the overall value of the franchise goes down. But they're in such a elite stratosphere now. The ripple effect of this five-year run, even if they never make it back to the finals again, like, they have a generation of fans now that are in. Don't you think, Butch? Like,
100%.
They're in it for the duration now that weren't 5 years ago.
Dude, basketball
Thanks for the call, Samir.
In the Bay Area has always been big. The youth participation levels are through the roof. I know CYO participation levels, like, they've had to acquire new gyms to utilize because there are so many teams.
Yeah, they're building one in Walnut Creek right now, right around the corner from my house.
Yeah, and so I just, man... The one thing with Joe Lacob that I would say is that people don't realize that dude has no idea how much money he's going to be able to print, because all your profits, all they are is projections at this point.
Sure,
they
that's fair.
They have no idea what they're going to – they have an idea in the ballpark of what they think they're going to generate, but you don't know how many people are going to go there and actually spend. We went to the U.S. Open this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And those merch tents print money.
Hell,
would you agree?
Yeah, they do.
Those merch tents, the merchandise tents that you go to, every single person had two bags full of stuff.
We were popping tags down there.
Everyone was. Yeah. And I was just doing a simple calculation. I'm thinking, dude, they're making millions. Millions, yeah. Right? But Chase Center, I would assume, kind of like Levi's and AT&T, when you go there the first time, you're going there to spend money. Everybody who goes there, it's going to be their first time for the most part. They are going there and they're going to drop money. They're going to have their own team merchandise store. Right. They're going to have, you know, all the. There is going to be a lot of money being sold. My understanding of how team apparel works is that anything online that's purchased goes through that revenue sharing thing. But mm-hmm. anything that you sell within your brick and mortar on your property,
that's your scratch.
You get to keep those profits. So. I don't think they're going to have an issue printing money, but you just don't know.
Well,
just don't know.
If the team's good, they're going to make a ton of cash. I mean, look at the last 5 years, even at Oracle. And these are, you know, every time you walk by those little shops, they're always jammed. They got people waiting. They, you know, there's a line, like, we can't let any more people in because we got too many people in here right now. So
it's crazy.
Right.
At Levi's, dude, I'm telling you, I took my grandfather in there. I felt like Jon Snow in the middle of the Battle of the Bastards.
Getting pressed against each other.
Oh, my God, dude, there's nowhere to move. Yeah. I felt like Brian Hoyer during the 49ers offense where the offensive line's just caving in on me.
Did the Knights of the Vale ride in and save you? Butch?
No, they did not, but my credit card did.
Oh, there you go.
Card did. But, like, that's a great example. Like, I go into that team store at Levi's. Dude, that place, 2.5 hours. Well, whatever. I think at 11:30, if the game starts at 1:30, they can open the gates at 11:30. Literally, people are sprinting to get in line to go into the team store. There's hundreds of people in this team store. I would say thousands. It's humongous. I can only imagine what they're going to have at Chase Center to get your money. And that's good business.
Oh, for sure. And when you – hey, and I'll tell you what. If he makes that money, guess what, man? Like you said, you believe in capitalism. Me too. He deserves to make it. He got that bad boy funded on his own dime. He threw it on his back and said, let's go do this. Don't worry, taxpayers. I got this.
Well,
that's a baller move.
It's a total baller move, and it's the confidence within himself. But also, it takes money to make money, you know? And I envision Joe Lacob and Goober and whomever crossing the Bay Bridge, and then they're playing the song Money Ain't a Thing by Jermaine Dupri and Jay-Z. And they're just throwing old Warrior jerseys out, you know, just making it rain with new apparel. They're going to print so much money there, and good for them. They deserve it.
Amen, and thanks. And as Warriors fans, you know, I know it sucks that it's going to be expensive to get in that bad boy, but I'll tell you this much. Thank them for the fact that the Warriors have been in 5 straight NBA finals. All right, let's go out to Hater Proof in the city. What's up, Hater Proof?
RC Cola, Butcher Boy.
What's up, baby? Chilling. We're good.
Hey, I just want to start off by saying, man, I wish I could sit down with y'all for a little bit and just chop it up about some sports. But
here you are. You're doing it right now, baby. Lay it on us.
Call us anytime.
Yeah, you guys are just, you know, jumping from topic to topic, man. But anyway, man, as far as the Oracle moving to the Chase Center, man, it's going to be terrible, man, to see that. But I know it's going to be lit over there at the Chase Center. But I wanted to touch on what the Warriors need to do next year. And I had called earlier today with the Steiny and Guru and talked to him about how they need to develop the young players, man, and just test out free agency. I feel like there's going to be a whole bunch of 10-day contracts next year going on because we got a lot of holes to fill. Besides the four superstars, we got a lot of players that really just haven't produced for us consistently. So develop the young players, and I'm happy that there's not going to be a whole lot of pressure or expectations next year. So that should be cool. And just let's see what happens, man. It's it's up for grabs. You know, I know the Pelicans or the Lakers and the Pelicans are, looking good with the trade and all that. But I don't know, man. Let's just develop these young players and see what happens.
All right, hey man, appreciate you, Hater Proof. Thanks for calling, man. Check in anytime.
Let me guess, Steiny was probably negative.
There we go.
I love him dearly, but
and
he's Guru
probably
was
putting the rat on the table.
Lousy. They're lousy. And then Guru's like, I'm excited about Jordan Bell. Like that's probably how that conversation went. I love them both.
I don't weigh in on other shows. Let's go to Larry in San Francisco.
I just
go
private
ahead, Larry.
Text them.
Oh, okay. You just name drop Guru? I just private text Guru.
Yeah, he knows that.
Let's go to Larry in San Francisco. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys, this is how I look at it, man. First of all, that loss that the Warriors did in that championship run, to me, was as good as that first round, the first time they won the championship. Man, that was a heart of a champion.
Yeah, they laid it on the line. They did, man. And I think if Clay stays healthy in Game 6, we see a Game 7 up in Toronto, and then who knows. But, you know, ifs and buts, candies and nuts and all that. I got you.
But you know what I was going to say, too? You know the Warrior fans, I mean the Laker fans, they remind me of the Raider fans. Every time the Raiders sign a free agent, oh, my God, we're Super Bowl bound. And the Lakers, every time they sign somebody, they think they're championship quality. Hey, AD's a great addition, you know. But let me tell you something. I'm not scared of KD, and I'm not KD. I mean
AD.
LeBron James and AD. You know, I'm not scared of them at all. This team, as soon as all they got to do is tread 500, and be within striking distance until Klay gets back, and they'll be in the playoffs. They're going to get swept out of the playoffs, but they'll be in the playoffs.
All right, thanks for the call, Larry. He said he ain't never scared. I thought we were talking to Bone Crusher. Remember that song? I ain't never scared.
Love that.
LeBron
song.
With the Lakers. I ain't never scared. That was on a Madden game too. Remember in the contents menu. So once again, it's on. I love that song.
LeBron just waiting in the wings, deactivating himself so he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah,
somehow
self-preservation. Dog.
Somehow the league gifts him with the fourth overall pick with the frozen envelope.
No. If it was top three, it'd be frozen
they
envelope.
They wanted it to be conspiracy proof, so they did it. It's like, well, we can't give him the top.
No, they would have given him three.
Case,
they would have given him three.
Still,
they would have given him R.J. Barrett.
It's ridiculous. Where's Adam Silver to rescind this trade?
How about this? Yeah, right. How about this, Butch? So. Next season, we know that the Golden State Warriors are up against it. And, it's such a foregone conclusion that that the Lakers are going to win the title, right? All right. Sacramento Kings. We talked a little bit about – I want to give you just a couple of teams here. Sacramento Kings. We know the Kings had a pretty good year last year. We don't really quite know what to expect. But let me put it to you like this. It's plausible that the Sacramento Kings could be better than the 39 wins we saw last year, right?
Yeah, the fight in Cozy Morris could get better, but – I'm hesitant. Reason I am is because teams that get into that 40-win range, it's really hard to jump up to the 50s. But I do love their nucleus, and I agree they're trending up.
Just roll with me on this for a second.
Okay, I will.
Cool. All right. Los Angeles Lakers at Anthony Davis, right?
They were the 4 seed before LeBron got hurt.
Okay.
They're going to be a top 4 seed.
All right. Minnesota Timberwolves, right? But still got some talent there with Karl Anthony Towns
Shopping
and Wiggins
right now.
Yeah, so they might look a little different, but they could definitely exceed the 36 win total. Last season was a disappointment for them with only 36 wins.
Yeah.
Okay, the Grizzlies are going to be garbage, but the New Orleans Pelicans, right? I mean, they're getting Zion. They got a bunch of young talent. 33 wins last year. My point is it such a far-fetched scenario to say that the New Orleans Pelicans could be better than the 33 wins that they put up last year?
I got to see what the rest of the moves they make during the offseason. Because if you're going to be starting two rookies, you're going to lose games. Don Nelson said it.
You're right.
Rookies make you lose, unfortunately.
Okay, and then I give you the Dallas Mavericks, a fellow 33-win team.
I think that Dallas will be better, but Porzingis, don't know.
Okay.
Because he's always hurt. That's the only caveat.
But
they are better.
Yeah, and Doncic is he's a superstar in the making. He might already be there.
He's a stud. There's no one questions his ability.
And then the Phoenix Suns, who've got money to spend this offseason.
I like their roster.
Right, and they only won 19 games last year. All of those teams, Butch, were the teams that did not make the playoffs in the West last year. You could make a case, other than the Grizzlies, who are going to be awful, that all of those teams could be better in 2019, 2020. And it's not just like, oh, woulda, shoulda, coulda. There's a plausible scenario why each one of those teams could be better next year. So,
and Utah will be better.
Oh, yeah. So Clippers, hey, what if they get what if they get Kawhi Leonard? Think the Clippers are going to be worse next year or better? To me, that looks like a team on the rise, not a team on the descent. The San Antonio Spurs, look, you got Greg Popovich, you got a chance. Oklahoma City Thunder, Paul George, healthy shoulder all year. Steven Adams, hey, talk to me. Utah Jazz, what's up?
I think they're going to be better. They had a down year.
Right.
I expected them to be better this year.
We thought they were going to challenge the Warriors.
Yeah.
And then you got the Rockets. We'll see what they do with, Chris Paul and company, but they still got James Harden.
I'm not counting them out. Yeah.
Why would you? And then the Portland Trail Blazers, we shall see. I think 53 wins again next year. That's going to be that's going to be tough to replicate. And then you got the Denver Nuggets, who, let's face it, that's a quality roster. Those are all the teams in the Western Conference. Dude, every single team in the Western Conference is going to be a tough out next year. So when I roll into battle with the Golden State Warriors and I don't have Kevin Durant and I don't have Klay Thompson, other than like making, franchise-altering changes, like trading Draymond Green, saying goodbye to Andre Iguodala, not offering Kevin Durant a supermax, all of those decisions, the ramifications of that, regardless of anything else, it's going to be so hard for the Golden State Warriors to compete even for a playoff berth in the Western Conference next year when you just roll in there with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I honestly think I'm just taking the other side. Steph Curry's better than any player on any of those bottom-tier teams, period. End of discussion.
Like, better than LeBron?
No, I'm talking about those six teams that you mentioned on the front end.
The Lakers are one of the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year.
Well, okay.
I'm just saying, fair enough. We're splitting hairs, but yeah, okay.
Outside of them.
All right.
Sorry, I counted them as a playoff team,
I got
even though LeBron got
you taking
hurt.
Curry over Luka Doncic right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Anyone on Phoenix, anyone on Sacramento, although I love De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is a baller.
I mean, I'm taking him over everyone. And then throw in Draymond Green, I'm pretty much taking Draymond over everybody. Him and Luka Doncic, yeah, I'll take Doncic's career, but at this point right now, for what he could do to help my team win every single night, I don't know. Like, I think I'm taking Steph and I'm taking Draymond.
Right.
I think, to me, this team, look, they just need to win 47 to 51 games. Find a way to grind out those games and sneak into the 7 or 8 seed, and you're dangerous.
Yeah, they won 57 this year with basically, most of their roster intact.
They were hurt a lot, though. That doesn't show the whole story. Like, even Klay missed some time. Steph missed multiple times. He missed, a month at the beginning of the season? Durant obviously had multiple injuries. Draymond himself had multiple injuries. We had a team suspension at one point.
Curry played 69 games. KD played 78. Klay played 78. Draymond played 66 because he had the injury.
And that's 50 games between Draymond, or 40-something games between Draymond and Steph alone.
Steph missed 13 games. KD and Klay missed 4 apiece, and Draymond missed 16. I mean, that's not 35 games or something. And you had one of them.
Again, I'm not counting this down. These guys out. It's
I'm not either. I'm just,
I think it's foolish to say that Steph Curry can't figure it out, and a couple guys have career years who aren't Steph Curry and Draymond.
I totally agree with you. I also just think it's foolish to say that it's a formality that they make the playoffs with this group of players.
No, I'm saying that they're going to have to fight and scratch and claw to make the playoffs. Absolutely. If you're asking me right now to bet one way or the other, I'm betting that they just sneak in.
Yeah.
And I'm not betting the house on that. I'm just saying with my heart that I think that they could find a way to get in. I just respect Steph that much.
All right.
Let's not forget, Steph, before he got hurt to start out the year, he was in MVP mode.
You're right.
He was playing the best basketball of his life.
Early in the year, he was on fire. You're right about that. All right. Coming up on the other side, we will puff in the final hour. I also wanted to ask you this, Warriors fans. Would there be any hard feelings from the fan base if the Warriors didn't offer Kevin Durant the Supermax deal
business decision, whatever you want to call it. The guy literally gave his Achilles tendon to this team to help him win a title. As Warriors fans, would you have any animosity towards this front office if they chose to make a tough business decision and not offer Kevin Durant a Supermax contract? We'll get into that coming up on the other side.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
I'm a boss. I'm a boss. Dip sauce. This was the song. This is the anthem.
Yeah.
You can bring up the Thizzle Dance. I don't care. It's this one for me.
Dude, how about though when we were riding down to Pebble, throwing on that that old Doobie?
Oh my goodness,
pretty good, Billy Sugar Badass.
So many hitters.
Yeah, good times. Good times. All right. So, do you think Butch? There's no indication that this has been the case. This was just more of a existential question for me. And the reason that I came up with the question is because I really feel like the Warriors aren't in a position where they can do this under any circumstances, which is to not offer Kevin Durant a Supermax. And think about it. You are offering over $200 million to a guy who isn't going to play a minute of basketball for you next year, and coming out of the Achilles injury, which we don't know how that's going to go, and he's going to be 31 years old. Like, just think about that is all I'm saying.
What about the optics of not offering him money?
That's what
How that lands on every other potential free agent down the line. Like, oh, I give my body for you, and this is how you compensate or treat us down the line. Like, I'm done. Like, I've given up everything for you, and now you're just done with me? That feels heartless, too. So,
yeah.
I feel like they're in a very, again, I keep saying, this is the hardest offseason they'll ever have.
Yeah,
you're right. More difficult than the Mark Jackson firing and the hiring of Steve Kerr.
Oh, without question. Let's see, 415, if the Dubs don't offer Durant a Supermax, it'll be a bad look. Other free agents are going to look at that and not want to play for the Warriors.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Doubling down on it. He didn't have the text lined up. It's just a classic Butcher Boy take. Let's see, 408. As a true fan, I'm really okay if the Dubs take 2020 off. They've given me five wonderful years, and not a lot of other franchises can say that. Let's see, Steph and Dre deserve to take it a little easier this year, develop the bench. This is assuming KD and Clay re-sign. We simply make a run at it in 2021 and beyond. Now, they would never come out and say that, Butch, but if that's kind of the underlining theme of the season, boy, it'd be hard to quibble with that, man. I mean, think about it. Like, this group, like, we can both admit, without Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson, they're pretty limited what they can do. And even if they trade Draymond Green, okay, even if they consummated a trade for Draymond Green, that's not going to put them in a position to win a title this year. Like, that's not happening.
No.
So you have to look at it like a lot of franchises look at it, coming into the year knowing we're not going to win the title this year, so what's the plan to win it next year? Team's in rebuilding mode, right? And what's the most plausible scenario to get us to the ultimate objective, which is to win a title? There's so many teams coming into this past season that knew they had no chance to win an NBA title this year, so all the moves that those GMs are making are to position themselves to whatever that path may be to win a title when they can. For the Warriors, the beautiful thing is all we really need to do is stand pat in 2020 and then win the title in 2021. Like, they actually still kind of hold all the cards in that respect if they can retain their players. So if you look at it through that prism, I think it's a lot easier to swallow the 2020 season being kind of a lost season. And the sidebar, the other benefit of that is you can develop a lot of your bench players.
It's just hard for me to sit here and say
that it should be.
Any season with Steph Curry in his prime is a lost season.
It should be.
And it's hard for me to sit here and say, like, because Steph's going to go out there and want to win. Whether we put him on minutes restrictions, whether we, you know, try to not play him on back-to-backs, however you want to set up the schedule, when Steph's playing, he is going to play only one way. He doesn't know how to play any other way but one way. Like, he's going to try to win. And I also think that when you throw Draymond Green in there with him, like, you got two all-stars, two all-time players.